Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic to the program. David, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
We are doing very well. And David, obviously a lot to get to on the Tennessee front today, but I want to start with the news from earlier this week with Gus Malzahn ending up as the next head coach at UCF. Both Joe and I just thought it was the most Tennessee thing ever that maybe UCF ends up with maybe a better coach at this point in charge of their program. What was your reaction to Gus Malzahn being the head coach at UCF? And do you think that that's a route maybe Tennessee should have explored?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if I had been in Danny White's shoes, I think Malzahn would have been probably number one on my list. You know, I think people underestimate just how difficult it is. I mean, he was at Auburn, what, 8-9 seasons, never had a losing season. That kind of consistency is, I think, what Tennessee needs. And, you know, was Gus Malzahn going to win a national championship at Tennessee if he took over this job, win an SEC championship? I'd say probably not, but I think the list of people that I'd be confident would is probably one coach long. So, you know, if you can get some consistency, you know, I think that could have helped. And obviously that experience throughout the league. And, you know, I think the Kevin Steele situation certainly complicated matters a little bit. I think that might have cooled him off of Malzahn possibly. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll see. I think it's going to be really tough to compare those two because UCF and Tennessee are in such different conditions, but you know, I'm sure fans will find a way either way.
Yeah, it seemed like the Kevin Steele, and I'm totally with you. I think Robbie and I both are in terms of Gus as a really good option and someone you could feel pretty good about getting you to a point that Tennessee needs to get to before it starts talking about all this other stuff. But the Kevin Steele part of that's just weird to me, David, because like, remind me, what is Kevin Steele going to be doing in the fall of 21? Is he going to be like taking phone calls in the football office at 800? Like, why would he be a factor in anything?
Well, I think they were hoping that whoever they hired would keep him on board, and it seems like that is not really the case right now. You know, him and Josh Heupel have not had a lot of conversations, from what I understand, at least recently. You know, nothing official has been decided. But, you know, Tennessee could have just as easily, you know, mailed an $800,000 check to Auburn and simplified this whole process because that's basically what they're doing with this Kevin Steele situation. But the whole thing has been bizarre. I mean, they're out here, you know, again, signing off on Jeremy Pruitt hiring a defensive assistant, you know, right before he gets fired when, you know, everyone that I had talked to and everything I had heard that this is where it was going. And, you know, what did they, you know, did they think that Kevin Steele might be the full-time head coach? I'm not sure. It's just a weird deal. And then you're hiring defensive assistants before you hire a defensive coordinator. Just like odd stuff. I have stopped, being astounded by some of the things that I've seen at Tennessee. It's just weird, weird things that just like are not how most people do business. But then again, Tennessee has a way of finding themselves in situations that not many people have been in. So, you know, when you're in unprecedented territory, all your decisions can be unprecedented as well.
Well, there's no question about that. David Ubben from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, I want to get your thoughts on the offensive staff that Josh Heupel has put together, and particularly how it relates to the quarterbacks and the competition that we think will be in place there with Salter coming in, obviously Harrison Bailey still in the fold, Hendon Hooker as well. What do you think it means for the quarterbacks with the staff that Josh Heupel has put together here?
Well, I think if you called, you know, if you were asked someone to describe Tennessee's offense the last 3 years, you could go, I don't know, 50, 60 pages before you'd get to quarterback friendly, I would say. But this is kind of what this offense would describe itself as. I mean, Joey Hallensley out here, you know, talking about letting quarterbacks rip and not being afraid to make mistakes. And, you know, if you said afraid to make mistakes, I think that would certainly be a much more fitting descriptor of Tennessee's quarterback position the last three seasons than quarterback friendly, wouldn't it be? I mean, that's kind of what we've seen is, hey, check it down, hey, all these things. And It's been tough to watch. And I don't know if Tennessee's gonna, you know, light the world on fire, but I do know it'll be a more aesthetically pleasing brand of football, whatever that means, you know, come fall. So it's been an interesting situation. But I think, you know, if you're a quarterback, you've certainly got to be excited. You know, they talked about they want to put a lot on their quarterbacks. They want to let those guys let it loose, and they're going to be able to freelance a little bit. And we didn't see a lot of creativity from Tennessee's quarterbacks the last 2 years. And I think that's, you know, if you're Hendon Hooker or Brian Maurer or Harrison Bailey or Caden Salter or, you know, maybe Ty Simpson, you got to be pretty excited hearing about that.
Yeah, afraid to make mistakes, and then all of a sudden, oh, Kentucky, here, have some free touchdowns. It's like, it was like one extreme or the other, right? Yeah, I mean, to me, like, I mean, David, that's where you start. I mean, look, obviously, I think this fan base was not exactly inspired by this hire, but if you're going to get excited, and of course they're going to get excited before we get to the season, I mean, that's where you start,
three,
right?
No, 9-3.
That's right, baby. But to me, like, we've been talking about the Nashville Predators today, and I think it's when you have a bad team, it's bad. But if you have a bad team that can't score, it's worse. Have a bad team that, you know, gets outscored at least, right? So at least Tennessee should be, like you said, more aesthetically pleasing. And if you have a great quarterback in this offense, it seems like you could maybe cause trouble for some people. But you wrote about the offensive staff this week after a – For one thing, I know a lot of fans won't care about this, but your last point, I know I care about it. They gave you these guys for a long time, and mm-hmm. you know, very different from Pruitt, which, again, to me, at least for the fan experience of a program, they're going to get more information, which to me is a good thing if you want to, you know, engage with your fans. But what else? What other impressions did you really come away with from all those guys the other day?
I mean, they're playing the continuity card. You know, this is not going to be the sort of, you know, all-star staff that we kind of heard about from Jeremy Pruitt initially, where you got all these guys that have all these national championships and they're coming together and, you know, it's this super team and Jeremy Pruitt's, this, you know, assembling is all set. That's not this. You know, a lot of these guys don't have, like, these high-powered resumes, but they've been together a long time. You know, Glenn Ellerbe, you know, followed Josh Heupel from Missouri, and now he's following him to Tennessee. Joey Halsley, goodness, I remember playing Joey Halsley with Oklahoma's holder on NCAA, like, 07. I remember this completely, a bajillion years ago, when Sam Bradford was setting everything on fire. But, you know, they've been in the same meeting room for 13 years. You know, he took a couple years off, but you know, they've been together forever. Alex Golish, and they have some experience in the past, but, you know, he followed him over here. And then, of course, Cody Burns, they had hired him, you know, previously. But that continuity is kind of what they're going for. And, you know, you got to lean on that. And will that translate? We'll see. I mean, I think certainly that knowing each other, knowing how to work with each other, that trust, I think, can help. I'm not sure that ever happened. I mean, if there's, you know, one thing that I think I would guarantee about this is that I don't think Josh Heupel is going to be making 12 coaching changes in the next 3 seasons. I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but if there was one thing I'm certain of, I think it's that. And, you know, I think that can pay off. I think that was a really underrated part of what I think did not work under Jeremy Pruitt. And, you know, I wrote about it at the time, and I said this doesn't seem like a great path to success, and I got shouted down. And then he fired his defensive line coach 4 games into a season. Hey, maybe that's not a real sustainable way to run a program. I'm just saying.
David Ubbin from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And David, you brought up Ty Simpson, and I think originally was going to make his decision this week. The winter weather has pushed that off a little bit, but a highly recruited quarterback Tennessee is in the mix for. How big of a deal would it be for Josh Heupel and his staff if they can land Ty Simpson?
I mean, I think he's the most important guy in this 2022 class. I kind of feel bad for him because they're up against it. You know, Ty Simpson, from everything I understand, you know, he loves Tennessee. He would love to come to Tennessee. But there's just so many variables. I think the comparison to Cade Mays is actually pretty interesting. You have this, like, superstar player who loves Tennessee, who'd love to come here, but there's so much upheaval. There's so many questions. And he looks around, and he's got Nick Saban staring at him. He's got Dabo Swinney staring at him, just like Kate Bays, you know, had Kirby Smart and Georgia staring at him and saying, why do I need to roll the dice? Why can't I take this sort of more sure thing? And, yeah, if Ty Simpson comes to Tennessee and is the next great guy, a great quarterback, and, helps revive this program, yeah, he'd be an absolute legend. But he might also, you know, struggle and have to deal with the coaching change, you know, as a junior or sophomore or whatever, and then have to decide that again and end up transferring. I mean, that's certainly a possibility, and you don't see that as much at Alabama or Clemson. He's really, really important for them. I think if Jeremy Pruitt had been here, Tennessee would probably be the favorite right now. But as it stands, you know, they're definitely an underdog. But he's not signing anything next week. He's committing. I would think, Alabama or Clemson, depending on who you talk to, you hear those two are sort of co-favorites, Tennessee, probably that number three spot. But you got 10 months after this to try and make an impact. And I think when you see what's happening in the spring, you keep that communication line open. He's been a priority. And then if you come fall and, you know, your quarterback's slinging it around, you know, I'm sure Ty Simpson's ears perk up. So I sense they're going to lose the battle, but I don't think the war is quite over yet.
Yeah, and I mean, you talk about sure thing, maybe sure thing with winning, but maybe less of a sure thing that you will be the quarterback at Alabama or Clemson too, given how they recruit every year. But yeah, that's it seems like it's trending that way, and that's a good point. You know, next year you have a chance to continue to make an impression before anybody signs anything. So, David, you're focused, moving, looking forward. So many things going on with this program, but you also looked back this week. Really fascinating Q&A with Butch Jones. For anybody who hasn't checked it out at theathletic.com, it's really interesting. I thought Butch opened up more than I would have guessed he would. He didn't get, you know, naming names or anything, but he had some really interesting things to say. What was your big takeaway from that interview?
Well, I think he definitely has some regrets about his time at Tennessee. I think he would agree with one of the main things that fans were frustrated with, and that he probably agrees hurt him, which was just that he spent a lot more mental energy on things that didn't matter. I think he would definitely agree with that. You know, as he would say, sort of keeping the main thing, and being inside the Alabama machine and seeing just how nothing changes them. It's sort of whatever happens, happens, you know, we move on. And that was really not the case with Tennessee. It seems like under Butch, it was kind of something new, especially those later seasons. You know, spending a lot of time worrying about things that didn't really matter. And, you know, I think it's going to be really interesting because Arkansas State's a really good job. You know, they've won 5 Sun Belt championships in 9 seasons. I think, you know, if he doesn't win a Sun Belt championship at Arkansas State, I'll honestly be surprised. But I think the most interesting thing will be, well, whatever happens next for him. You know, Arkansas State has been a launching pad to some really good jobs, and I think they'll probably get one. And is that a fishbowl job? Is that a run-of-the-mill Power 5 gig? We'll see. But what happens next I think will be really interesting because I think that's where he'll be tested the most. I mean, Arkansas State's a good job. It's not the same level of scrutiny. You know, you're not under the microscope as much, you know, in Jonesboro as you are in Knoxville. And I think I'm interested to see when he gets another chance at a big place what those lessons look like and if he can, you know, play out a different history. We'll see. But it's very interesting. I understand all the reasons why Tennessee fans dislike him so much. I think a lot of people were interested to hear what he had to say. But he is Tennessee's most successful head coach, no question, since Philip Fulmer. It's not even a comparison. You know, 3 winning seasons in a row. He's the only guy who's done that since Fulmer in 2002-04. I mean, that's crazy. 3 winning seasons in a row. That's not that hard, if we're being honest. We see that a lot. And it's crazy that, you know, he's the only guy that's done that, and Tennessee's only done that one time in almost 20 years. I mean, that's, you know, it was really interesting to talk to him.
It's coming full circle. Bring Butch home in 2024. I can see it. Come on back.
Sure. We're going to throw a parade, yeah.
David Ubbin from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. David, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. David Ubben, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll dive back into the news of the day from yesterday. Carson Wentz traded to the Indianapolis Colts. What does that mean for the Titans moving forward? How scared are you of Carson Wentz as the quarterback of the Colts? We'll revisit our poll question of the day coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.